The hour of 12:45 having arrived, I'm going to call to order the Greater Minnesota Jobs and Economic Development Finance Division. Members, we have before us today House File 3232, and I'm going to move that House File 3232 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Higher Education Finance Division. And with that, we have a number of testifiers, but before I bring up the testifiers, this is another piece of legislation that came out of the Winona mini session. It was, and you'll hear today, there was a hearing at, I still like to call it the Technical College, so I can be corrected when President Lundblad comes up with its new rather long convoluted name. But there was a major hearing there, and the intent of the hearing was to focus on something that a number of us have been working on, Representative Albright in particular with me, on doing this, ensuring that every Minnesota high school senior have the option of graduating not just with a traditional diploma, but with an employable set of skills. When we took the vocational schools out of the school districts and we created these technical colleges, there were unintended consequences. And one of them was to migrate the faculty, the program, out of the high schools. So slowly now we're in a position where, as you'll hear by House File 3232, we no longer have the opportunity to hire what we used to call industrial arts teachers. The programs have traditionally withered away in most of our high schools. And that reconnection, that relinking of our technical colleges with our high schools has to begin to occur. So with that, I'm going to call up first, I think Superintendent Hannon is first on my list, or former Superintendent Hannon. Superintendent Hannon was the one who actually gave the testimony at the Winona mini session, and I was privileged enough to work with Superintendent Hannon. I'll tell the story before he does. He was superintendent of schools, and I was, I think, the only digital projector in the Winona Senior High at the time. The bulb burned out, and he and I had to get a stepladder, and he and I had to take a $110 burned out bulb out and place it in. So how many teachers, superintendents does it take to replace a digital projector bulb? Two is exactly what it takes. And no one was injured at the time. So welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Dr. Scott Hannon, H-A-N-N-O-N. I'm retired superintendent of schools from Winona, Minnesota. I served in the school district for 41 years as a teacher and as a assistant principal, principal, director of alternative education, assistant superintendent, and finally retired out as superintendent of schools. I'm from Winona. I went to the schools. I went there, count kindergarten, plus the other 12 grades, 13 years in the same schools that I then taught in. And
Dr. Chan, can you move that microphone just a little closer to you?
This mic?
Yeah, just move it just a little.
I'll
there
move
you
over
go.
Here a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Thank so anyway, it's been a... It was a great career, and not that I'm glad it's over, because that when your career is over, you're at a certain age, and it's called retirement. And anyway, but I want to tell you a little bit of a story, and maybe it's as I get into some of the other things. I hope we have time. I don't think my story is that long, but born and raised in Winona, as I said, and my father was off the farm and clerking in a store downtown for 75 cents an hour. My mom took in ironing, cleaned apartments. We live in a shotgun house in Winona. And I don't know if you all know what a shotgun house is. The front door and the back door lined up. If you use shotgun off, you're not going to hit anything front to back. So we lived in that, and I lived in that for the first 21 years of my life. And fortunately, we were about a block away from Winona State. The year I was started kindergarten, my dad went to college at the age of 40 years old. Went to college to be an industrial technology, industrial arts teacher. He went and did it in 3 years. He felt that education was extremely important. And I don't know how they did it, raising a couple kids and having a mortgage and making payments and trying to work and go to school and at the same time. In fact, at 40 years old in 1955, he was so old they waived his Phi Ed class. He didn't have to go to take a Phi Ed course. So anyway, he taught for about 15 years, and I ended up graduating with an industrial tech degree myself from Winona State. It was right across the street. I could go home during class, or not during classes, but after class and do things. And my dad decided to retire, and I was able to take his job. So it's kind of an interesting story here. I took his job he had taught 15 years, and I took over, but I could see the impact of having a better income in our family. No longer did I have to just have two new pair of blue jeans at the start of the school year and have hand-me-downs, and my mom made shirts, things like that. Once my dad got that college education, our income was much better, and I wouldn't say we were middle class, but we were able to afford some of the better things in life, so that made a big impact on me. So I took over his job, and I taught for 12 years. During that 12 years, I got my master's degree in industrial technology or industrial education, industrial arts, whatever you want to call it. And after 12 years, I got into administration thanks to a superintendent that saw something in me that maybe I didn't see at the time. And I then went on and spent 29 years as an administrator, assistant principal, director of alternative education. And when I was director of alternative education, I started the Winona Area Learning Center, which now has graduated nearly 1,000 students out of, which normally wouldn't have graduated from school or would have had a hard time or would have dropped out. And after doing that for 3 or 4 years, then I became the junior high and middle school principal, the very school that I taught in and went to, and did that for about 15, 16 years, as well as taking over the Area Learning Center. And then I went on and got my doctorate at St. Thomas in Educational Leadership. So I really felt that education was really important and made a heck of an impact on me. So it got me where I am today, and I'm retired, and I'm doing some consulting, but I have to take you back a little bit. I know this isn't an education committee, but in 2013, the world's best workforce law was written in by the state legislature here. And for those of you that don't know, I have to get my paper here. It was passed in 2013 to ensure that every school district in the state is making strides to increase student performance. Each district must develop a plan that addresses the following 5 goals. All children are ready to start kindergarten. All third graders can read at a grade level. All achievement gaps between students are closed. And here's probably the one that's most important to me today, is that all students are ready for career and or post-secondary education. School districts have to ensure those things, plus all students graduate from high school. Well, we know that all grad students are not graduating from high school. We have about a 92% rate in Minnesota, and it's worse in some places, better in others. But those are all lofty things, but those were all mandates given to school districts. So why did they focus on this idea? Well, our population is aging. 70% of the jobs require more than a high school diploma by 2018. This is a little old, but we don't have an adequate number of qualified candidates to fill many good-paying jobs. And if you look in the newspapers, any of us read the newspapers, I'm not taking a shot, but tell you what, there's ads in those papers and there's jobs, 50, 60, 70, 80,000, $100,000 jobs, they're going begging because there aren't qualified people for them. And you know what? When you think about all those jobs take a certain educational background. They need experience, most likely, but they need an educational background of some sort. The fastest growing segment of our future workforce is students of color, and they currently have the state's lowest graduation rate. Minnesota has one of the worst black-white achievement gaps in the country. So what else did we say? We had to have people ready for career and post-secondary education. Now, you probably realize, or maybe you don't realize, there's a shortage of teachers in certain areas in Minnesota and in the country, in fact. Since 2004, there's been a 44% decline in new licenses, teaching licenses granted to completers, people that have completed 4 years of college or 5 years of college, whatever they took to get through, but they've completed their program of study and got a BS degree. 44% decline in that number. And three areas have been dipped drastically are industrial technology. almost 90%, the numbers of that have completed that come out of and gotten a completed college, it's dropped 90%. Business, 81%, and family consumer science is 70%. All areas that the mandate by the Minnesota legislature, world's best workforce, has said, we want people career ready, we want them ready for post-secondary schools. So that's a problem. And one of the things that we're looking at is to be able to put more industrial technology, industrial education, career tech ed teachers back in the workforce by a collaboration. So by 2020, this year now, all 65% of all jobs in the United States will require some form of post-secondary education. Those foundry jobs, those working on the farm jobs, they're just not there anymore. And career and tech ed certifications and two-year associate degrees can be a good fit for a number of students, avoiding that $100,000 of school debt, but getting into a job that maybe pays $30,000. And those jobs are increasing in pay. Welding jobs are going $40,000, $50,000 to get that. So we want to get more of these career ed teachers, tech ed teachers. An advisory task force of the Department of Education, though, says that roughly a third of the CTE or career tech ed teachers out there are working in a classroom under special permission license. They're not licensed folks. You received a letter, I believe, from the superintendent of schools from Winona. They've had a disaster in Winona for tech ed or industrial ed teachers, and I'm going to intermingle those. When I started my teaching career in Winona, there were 13 people in the department. When I opened the middle school in Winona as a middle school principal in 2000, fall of 2000, we had two family consumer science teachers and two industrial tech teachers. There are none there now. We built a new school, and those labs were in the core part of the school. They put some STEM courses in the industrial tech labs, and they don't even have a STEM teacher. If you want to teach some kind of a STEM unit, you go down there and use the lab. The family consumer science labs are being used by some special ed classes in a conference room. We need to get teachers back in to give kids experience at the middle and high school level so that they're career ready or workforce ready to some extent, or they at least know what the heck they're going to do when they finish finish high school. So in the last year and a half, I've met with Dr. Lundblad and Dr. Olson, and we talked about how can we pair two very important post-secondary institutions, pair them together to provide more tech ed teachers to the state of Minnesota. Last year, Stout, you're probably aware of Stout in Wisconsin. They're the big tech ed teaching place in Wisconsin. They put out, in 2018, they put out 14 industrial ed teachers. Only two of them went into education. 26% of the people that 26% of the people that are going into education or getting an education degree are not even going into education. So we talked about how could we collaborate, and it just hit me real simply, and I think it'll hit you real simply too, that the Tech College, so, and I know it's a long name, Dr. Lundblad, but I'll just call it Tech College like Honorable Pawlowski said. They've got all the coursework. They've got woodworking and welding and machining. They just put in a $500,000, all by donations and grants, by the way, not state-funded, state-of-the-art machining area for being a machinist and being a tool and die maker. They've got a welding technology course that's second to none. But they've got the woodworking. They've got manufacturing. They've got all the coursework that when I was teaching, I taught. They've got them there at the technical college. They've got the instructors there. They've got the equipment there. They've got the general education courses for a college education. Winona State just opened in the fall of 2019 the Education Village, which I'm proud to be part of, a state-of-the-art education facility to teach new teachers. They've got all the classes and how to teach and how to assess students, the pedagogy classes, what's it all about. They've got the gen ed classes too. You put those two together, you don't have to hire new teachers. You don't have to have more equipment. You don't have to have, it's all right there. There's no additional expenses. All you need is somebody to look at it, plan it out, plan that coordination out, and say, at the end, here's the courses you take, and at the end, you've got a degree. You've got an associate degree or you've got a bachelor's degree in industrial tech ed or career tech ed. It's real simple. And like I did talk to one of the members of your committee here and said, well, this is kind of a no-brainer. And I know in politics in the state of Minnesota, there's probably no such things as a no-brainer. But if you really think about it, it's a no-brainer. It's not going to cost you any money other than some planning money. And that gets us to why we're here today. It's House File 3232. It's simply asking for some appropriation of money to plan this so that we can turn out tech ed teachers in Winona without spending any additional funding on these new people that'll teach our kids. One other thing, I went to a superintendent's meeting last Wednesday. I still am a retired member of the Superintendent's Association. 40 superintendents were there. That's more than 10% of the entire superintendent population in the state. Majority of them are at rural districts. And I asked questions. How many districts have tech ed or career ed? Half of them raised their hands. How many of you disbanded this program? Probably about a third of them. How many of you had difficulties hiring? Holy cow, did the hands go up then? They can't find these people because they've got them working on waivers or they just can't find them. And the letter that I think Dr. Freiheit sent to you, the superintendent now in Winona, attests to that. How many districts share? And there were a couple that share. How many districts are collaborating with a post-secondary entity? And that's just allowing PSEO students to go and take a tech ed class. What we're dealing with here, 3232, is it's really a no-brainer. It'll put more teachers in the pipeline to help out all the school districts that want to meet the mandate of the world's best workforce. I guess I don't know how to say it, but it's a no-brainer.
And questions, members? Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, when you said Stout, you were talking about the numbers that they turned out for teachers. Was that actual 14 teachers and only two of them went in, or was that a percentage? I'm sorry.
That was actual numbers.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
Dr. Hannon, go through the chair, please.
What's that?
Go through the chair, please. It's a procedure we use. You say, Mr. Chair, and then representative. I hate to correct the superintendent,
okay,
but I enjoy it immensely.
I'll see you after class.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
And then Representative Barr.
Representative Barr. Okay. The numbers were 14 graduated in teacher education, industrial education. Only two went on to teach.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that they found a job right away because they're looking for them all over. And, you know, that's one of the things where I always thought that, and Representative Chair Plowski would probably work with me on this one, that in some of these areas, I almost think there needed to be a little bit extra pay given to those people in areas that were really tough to find a teacher. Maybe you wouldn't agree with me, but that was always my thought. So,
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When you referenced your meeting with superintendents last week,
correct,
did you have any representation from, I think it's Alexandria or from Virginia, Minnesota? Those school districts either have or are looking at academy-style high schools, which is really centered around career tech ed type of opportunities. And if so, what was their feedback?
Dr.
Chairman, Chairman Plowski, Representative
Sandstead.
The region that I went to was southeast. The meeting was in Rochester, and it's southeastern Minnesota superintendents. Does not go as far as Alexandria. I think there's like five regions in the state that meet that are superintendents. It's called MASA, Minnesota Association of Secondary Administrators. So I didn't get any feedback from those folks. It's just rural Minnesota. We go out as far as Albert Lee and as far north as Faribault. That's about as far north as we go. So it's that whole southeastern part.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Sanson.
Thank you. Do you have any commentary on like how this type of pilot would either help those programs or would it be in any way, would it compete with existing licensures that are going into a setting like that? I personally don't think that they would, but yeah. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Okay. Chairman Plowski, Representative Samvick.
Samstead.
Yeah. Samstead. There's really hardly anybody or nobody putting them out in Minnesota right now, so there'd be limited competition with any other post-secondary. You know, you've got PSEO and you've got college in the schools in some places that are working with, I can think in southeastern Minnesota, that there are some small school districts that are working with like Riverland Community College, Tech College, and they're doing some collaborative work where students are going there under PSEO, or it's called college. College in the schools, basically you have an instructor on your high school staff that's certified through the post-secondary college, and they teach it right there. Mm-hmm. PSEO, the kids are usually going there. So through a combination of that, there is some of this happening, but it's more on a, they're not going there to get a certification. They're maybe going there to start on that role or start towards that. And there may be a few, I can recall. I gave the graduation address for Southeast in 2014, I believe it was. And one of the girls that graduated there, I had just given her a high school diploma a couple nights before, and she was getting an associate diploma. So those things are possible. But I think what we're talking about here is to be able to get enough, in this particular case, House File 3232, is to be able to turn out at the end of 4 years, and maybe less if they took PSEO, they could come out after high school maybe in 3 years or less and be a certified career tech ed teacher. And I think that would be phenomenal. We talk in the bill about associate's degree and a BS degree, and that's certainly the ultimate to have, but it would be possible that they could coexist, take those classes at the same time, and at some point they'd be eligible for that associate's, but then to continue to go on and get their bachelor's degree and be a teacher in less than 4 years. I think that'd be really cool. The whole thing here is to create more opportunities or create a great opportunity for someone that wants to get into the teaching area and wants to be, as I was talking with the two presidents here earlier, you know, in my book, I would want a master teacher, so somebody that really got all the classes that they could at the teaching institution, which would be Winona State, and all those hands-on and be a somewhat of a master or at least a jack of all trades, so that when they're talking about in the classroom to students, when they're talking about careers to go into that are not a college type of career, but they're maybe in the technology area, I want that person to have their boots on the ground and know what they're talking about rather than him taking an online course. I kind of put it like, you know, I don't think I want to learn to play the piano from an online course. I want a teacher that can, it's been there, that's done that, that got dirty, you know, has got to wash their hands at the end of the hour. I want that person in there teaching my kid, and I want that person to be able to understand what teaching is all about. How do you assess kids? How do you keep classroom management and classroom control? Because not all the kids that you have in those classes are probably attuned to being there when the bell rings, and I can speak to that because I had them. So,
Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you probably for the unintended plug for arts education.
Before I go to the next representative, there's a letter in your packet from the Chancellor of the Minn State System supporting the bill. As I said at the beginning, the issue with this is statewide. It isn't just located in southeastern Minnesota.
Right.
And I'm going to repeat what I said at the beginning. I do think it is imperative that every high school senior have the option of graduating with a traditional high school degree and the option of an employable skill set. That was common 30 years ago. It no longer is common, and it should be. We have the resources to do it. I think in the long run, separating the vocational schools from the high schools was not the best idea in the world, and that doesn't diminish the technical colleges. But the resources are there, and we have to use those resources now. Representative Saul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to carry around a cold bucket of water for these kinds of occasions when I happen to have an opinion that's not going to feel very good. I left teaching and doubled my salary. And that was after 17 years of teaching. Today you graduate from college and you get a very nice warm handshake and congratulations. But you don't get a competitive, real salary for today's world. I understand what you're saying, and it is horribly true that we have kind of lost our center and our focus, particularly in this area of training people that would be in the technical area. But I could seduce away every graduate that goes through that from a private industry and probably double their salary. So we have multiple lines of challenge here, and I think we also have to wake up that, yes, we have to improve these pathways so that we have both a connection at the end and the pathway to get there and be very skilled and well-prepared. But we also have, as a society, have to wake up and know that we are not paying anything close to a competitive wage. People can walk out of, I see the president from Winona down there, people can walk out of Winona and walk into one of two fairly large buildings in Rochester, two different national corporations, and clearly enhance their educations by use of salary. So it is a challenge that we've had for a number of years. As you can tell from my age, my gray hair, I was a participant in the education system for a lot of years, and it has just ground itself into that. I started teaching in the 70s, so it, you know, the arc was long, but it did continue to degrade, particularly in the public support. And that has also merged down to then the public support of those teachers working and the public support of the superintendents and other people working. And so I think that we also need to deal with that. Thanks for listening. I would be glad to take all the slings and arrows that accrue from my statement.
Dr. Hannon.
Chair Pawlowski and Representative. You guys are not.
One of these names.
Yeah.
Just say Representative. I think
Representative.
That's what
you're pronouncing. My only comment is you didn't throw any cold water on me. And I'm with you on that. Knowing that this isn't really an education committee, I mean, it wasn't going to go in that direction, but you're absolutely right. And that's why I said earlier that Representative Barr asked the question about the 14 and the 2. Why do you think they went there? They went there because there's more money. So in the whole process of trying to get better teachers, salaries and benefits are one thing, but I think we have to market the job, and it's not just anybody can do it. You know, I couldn't be a mortician. I certainly couldn't be anybody in music because I can't do much there. But I can talk and I can facilitate and I can, and with a little bit of knowledge, I can teach. And I think I'm fairly good at it. I was Winona's Teacher of the Year. I was a middle school state principal of the year. I was president of the Minnesota Association of Secondary Principals. So I can do a few things, but some things I can't do, and not everybody can teach. Not everybody can be a politician. I've seen that lately on the national front. So you're absolutely right. You didn't throw any cold water on me, and I don't think you threw any cold water on these folks. You've just brought up a point that's out there, and it grates on everybody that's in education, but somehow we the educators, have to do a better job of marketing and working with the legislature, and I think not only the legislature but the public has to see that there's a lot of value in good teachers.
Representative Salt.
Thank you, and like I said, that was just a huge opinion piece. I also think we might note that almost everybody that is coming out with a specific skill from colleges, and I don't know, I'm sure there's analytics in this regard, they're being hired by everybody. Anybody that would graduate from Winona and come to me with credentials and would want to work in my company when I owned a company at that time, I would have taken them almost, especially if they were taught to be teachers, I would have taken them without regard, just because I knew they had training in the background that was pertinent to running a good company, a high service, high personal touch kind of thing. And I didn't care to see necessarily, I mean, I cared about their credentials, but the fact was is I knew they were the cream of the educated workforce that I wanted.
Thank you very much. That's well said.
Representative Gunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Poppy Bennett and I tri-authored a bill for Fairmont High School, who now has welding, small engines, large engines, food prep, FFA, woodworking, and robotics, plus other things that I can't remember, in their vocational wing. They build houses the way they did before. Mm-hmm. And I think for welding, there's two companies that take all the graduates. And we've got a standing order. We'll take them all. I look at truck driving. Representative Barr was a truck driver, is a truck driver. And it's amazing how much a truck driver that graduates from Riverland makes per year, around 88,000, I believe. It's sometimes not fun going from coast to coast and not coming home but once every other week. But they make a lot of money. A diesel repairman makes $80,000 plus. They can make more money. When I was a chairman of the Greater Minnesota Committee, we went and visited 27 industries throughout Greater Minnesota. The universal message we got from them was we don't want four-year degree people, we want two-year degree people trained in what we want to have. And it's something that has to happen. This is one of the greatest bills I've ever seen. I really.
It was Dr. Hannon's idea, actually. So this comes right out of what came out of the mini session.
Dr. Hannon. Chairman Plowski.
Representative Gunther.
Representative.
Hey, you.
You know, you're absolutely right. And you're saying exactly in a little different way what I said. Not everybody is cut out to be a teacher. Not everybody's cut out to be a truck driver, and I applaud you. That's a tough job. Not everybody's cut out to be a welder. But they're good-paying jobs, and we want our high school students to know about those jobs. We want them to have a little experience with those jobs or see those jobs and see those career paths. If they have more knowledge of them, they're more likely to go into them. You know, Southeast Tech has truck driving, and they got a great welding. But unless kids have a career tech ed teacher to talk about that and tell them about it and show them, and they've got hands-on experiences in some of those areas, hey, they're not going to know about them. And they're going to go to a four-year college and maybe flounder a little bit. So,
Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Representative Gunther.
Another thing that they're doing in Fairmont is they're getting certified people that work in the industry to teach classes in the high school. They don't have a teaching degree, which they have to work towards.
Correct.
They have the ability to teach in those classes.
Am I still on?
Dr. Hannon, you may respond.
Okay. You're right. There's pathways to get expert in the classroom. Now, do they always work out? Winona, the superintendent at Winona now, wrote the letter, and I think she mentioned in there, hey, they had that and it didn't work out very well. Some of those people have all the skills. They've got that gift of being able to teach and have kids listen and learn. Others don't. So it's kind of hit and miss. I would say that Fairmont's got one heck of a program going. If they got those things and if you wrote a bill to give them some funding to get there, my hat's off to you, sir.
Dr. Hannon, thank you. I'm going to proceed to the next one. Before I do, Representative Marquardt has asked his superintendent to submit a letter. Also, we haven't gotten it yet, but they're in a similar situation to Winona, where they have one industrial arts teacher left. That person's retiring. They have no replacements foreseeable for that. So we are in a crisis situation, and I would like to see these programs restored across the state at our high schools. So, Dr. Hannon, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Next is Dr. Scott Olson. President Scott Olson, President of Winona State. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Pulaski. I'm Scott Olson. I'm the president of Winona State University.
Before you begin, President Olson co-chaired the committee that organized the entire mini-session. So Winona State was the center, the hub for the mini-session. We had five meetings starting, and I know you've heard this before, but I always like to repeat things three times in my classrooms for those students who aren't listening, because maybe by the third time they actually did. So we had five meetings in Winona, starting the last week of July, going every 2 weeks. We had 35 to 45 people at those meetings that organized the entire three-day mini session. Without President Olson, without Winona State University, we could not have pulled off the mini session. And this is the second time that Winona State has been the center of a mini session. The first was 1989 under a different president, but both times we had to have a center. And I'm repeating this because if we continue the mini sessions for members who are going to have the next one, you're going to need something similar to that to be a center for organizing this thing, because it has to be organized from the local ground up, not from us coming down and dictating what's going to happen. So President Olson, welcome and to the bill.
Well, thank you, Chair Pulaski. I would just offer, if any of you are thinking about having a mini session in your area and want to partner with an institution of higher ed, we'd be happy to work with you to kind of talk about what our end of the deal was. I would also just say, Chair Pulaski, the mini session absolutely wouldn't have happened without your leadership. People in Winona are still talking about Owen Worth and Tara Scafell and how wonderful they were, and I think they made even a little bit of a splash up here in St. Paul. So I'll tell you, Winonans are kind of split on this Winona Ryder Super Bowl commercial, but they're unified in their adoration of the mini session. So thank you, all of you that participated in that. I think the best attended session that I went to anyway at the mini session was the one that was at Minnesota State College Southeast. It was the one at which Scott Hannon testified. It was very well attended. Some of you probably were there and heard that testimony, and it got us talking in all kinds of ways about, well, what could we do, what could we do? You may not know that Winona State University was founded in 1858, and I don't think it's coincidental that that's the same year that Minnesota became a state. And I don't think it's coincidental because we started as a teacher's college, a place to prepare teachers. And I've always thought that if Minnesota was for anything, we love our lakes, we love our rivers, we love our forests, we love our arts, the music and the theater. But if we were for anything, it was for education. And there was Winona State right at that moment when it was founded. And Winona State was put here for the purpose of helping the future of Minnesota be prosperous, to prepare people to go out and teach in those little one-room schools out on the prairie so that the future generations would be ready for what came. And that's what we've been doing since 1858, thanks to you. There's no question there's a big worker shortage in Minnesota. So what are we going to do about it? And it's not just greater Minnesota. I suppose it's happening in the metro area, too. I'm with Representative Gunther on this. I can't think of a better way to address it than HF 3232. It seems like a really good way of kind of getting at the long-term problem rather than a cosmetic coverage. There's challenges, Representative Salk, there's no question about attracting and retaining teachers in the profession, and that's something that is broader than just this bill and needs to be talked about. But I agree with your comments there. To me, this is the most sustainable long-term solution I've heard. It reintroduces industrial arts and sciences, technical arts and sciences back into K-12. I know when I came out of a Minnesota high school, we had had classes in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade in what we called VOTEC back then, and I felt like I left high school with employable, job-ready skills. My path was a little different, but I felt like if that's what I wanted to do, I would have known how to do. Actually, I took a few classes at Hennepin Tech, thinking maybe that was something I would do. But the problem is we don't have the teachers. You've heard that. We don't have the teachers to do this. The technical schools, the technical colleges, they can't do it on their own because they don't have the ability to give teacher licensure programs. And the state universities don't have the ability to do it on our own because we don't really have the kinds of labs and facilities and faculty that they have at the tech colleges to, how did we characterize it, getting their fingernails dirty, having to clean up afterward. Anticipation of Representative Sandstedt's question, I don't think this poaches other teacher ed programs. I think if you're coming to Winona State because you want to be a social studies teacher, I don't think this lures you away from that. That's a different calling. I think there might be some folks who end up at Dr. Lundblad's institution and love it so much they decide they want to share that gift with others. And they're the ones, it seems to me, is the primary group that would do that. We're already partnered with Minnesota State College Southeast in so many ways. Their students, if they want can live in our residence halls, eat in our food service. We partner with them on security. We partner with them on all kinds of student life aspects. So we're already working with them. Well, and there's a number of programs that they have already that come smoothly into Winona State that leads to a bachelor's degree eventually. So this is not a square peg in a round hole situation. We're already working closely with them. So a pilot of this, 2+2, associates and bachelor of science, replicable, so that all of your communities someday maybe could be a part of a thing like this, you know, that we would test out there first to see how it would work, makes a lot of sense. Chair Pawlowski already mentioned the chancellor is supportive of this. You have a letter in your packet, I think, from the chancellor saying this fits in exactly with what he has been asking for in terms of his budget priorities for this past biennium. When I was a kid, you know, if you'd asked my grandparents, my parents, what was it that made Minnesota great, the first thing that would have topped their list was education. They would have said that was a defining thing about Minnesota. And I bet those of you who grew up in Minnesota, it wouldn't be hard to think of a teacher that made a huge difference in your life. And that's at its heart what this is about. It started in 1858, and we can continue it in 2020. So thank you very much for hearing this bill.
President Olson, members, you'll notice that House File 3232 does not have in the appropriation sections ... And it doesn't because before the bill would be introduced, we went to both President Lundgren and President Olson to give us a reliable number that would work. This isn't a guess. So President Olson, on line 1.7, can you explain why there's 250,000 there and not some other number?
Well, I will just say it's great working with Chair Pawlowski because he works with the local leaders to get bills that make sense for Minnesota and for the community. Where that number came from was the cost that we think it would take to initially hire a couple of teachers on our end to be teaching in this program. That would be a special, unique skill set we don't have, and also to promote, advertise, and recruit students to be in the program. The reason it works, we think, as a pilot project is, if you think about it, once students are enrolled in a program, once you get it going, they're paying tuition that you then have recouped and that they can then, on an ongoing basis, pay the salaries of those faculty. But it can be the startup part of it that gets hard because the money's got to come from somewhere to hire them initially and get the program kind of up and running into robust enrollment. So that's really where that number came from.
Members, questions? Representative Salt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're most benevolent to keep calling on me. This is another tough question, I think. Maybe I'm completely amiss on this. In this kind of program, where and how do the union trade schools interleave into that opportunity for people that would like to go into a trade or go into those kinds of things? So I can't believe that would be just a black hole that you've ignored, so you might have wisdom to say about that.
President Olson.
So Chair Pawlowski, Representative Sauk, you're talking about like that IBEW workforce training place that's in, yep. Where is that, St. I'm blanking on where it is. I've been there. So those kind of programs, we're talking about a teacher education program here. My theory would be that if we get these teachers produced, and I don't have any doubt the districts are going to snap them right up, then you've got this being taught again in the schools, and that could be a pipeline not only to the tech colleges perhaps, but also to those trade schools such as you're talking about, because it's then part of what they're doing in high school. They've got this idea, oh, I could go be an electrician. I could go be a plumber. So I think it fits together, but
Representative Salt.
The only reason I bring it up is because I think for years, if not purposefully by accident, those schools were sort of either ignored or just not credentialed in terms of the brain as a element of the whole arc of teaching trades.
President Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative Sauk, I agree, but I don't see any reason why this is competing with them for those bodies. In fact, it might be a better pipeline of folks to them.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just have a question about where currently do students go to get their four-year degree for industrial arts or other things? I mean, I know you mentioned UW-Stout. So do we in Minnesota, are you teaching any courses that are not just a education degree, but something that's particular to a CTE?
President Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative Poppe, I think pretty much after Scott Hannon graduated from our industrial arts program, we thought we could never do better than that, and we shut it down. So currently we don't have a program like that. We mentioned already UW Stout has a program. I think it's hard for Minnesota to attract students from there. I believe that St. Cloud has an online program, but as we kind of said earlier, maybe online isn't exactly, I'm not going to speak against them, but this feels like a better way to do it. You invested in the amazing Education Village in Winona. It is located about a mile from Minnesota State College Southeast. So the idea that we could use that amazing facility, which maybe some of you have had a chance to see, Representative Poppe, I know you've seen it, and the great facilities that are being built, even as we speak, there's been a lot of investment at MSC Southeast on the part of the local community in their advanced manufacturing labs and stuff. It's quite a renaissance there that I think President Lundblad will talk about. But I think the where for a reboot of this nature makes a lot of sense in Winona. I think we've got the facilities there to do it, and I don't think, other than St. Cloud's online program, I don't think there's much going on elsewhere in the whole region.
Representative
Poppe. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just recalled, I think Bemidji State has the 360 degree. I don't know if anybody knows about that, but so I think that I know we've had students that have gone from Riverland to through Bemidji State, but I think that this is a good idea.
President Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative Poppe, the 360 degree, that was from their Center of Excellence, and that's an advanced manufacturing degree. It isn't really a teacher training degree, and what this is really about is getting industrial art, industrial science, technical teachers back in the K-12 schools so that pipeline starts to rebuild that was there when most of us went to high school in Minnesota. That's what this is about.
Further questions, members? Thank you very much.
Thank you, representatives, for everything you do for Minnesota. We are so grateful for your service.
President Lundblad's up next. Members, President Lundblad attended every one of our planning sessions for the mini session. He made sure that the technical college was part of this endeavor. And I'm going to encourage you, if we have more of these, this is exactly what we should be doing on site. We should be listening to folks who actually know what they're doing sometimes. And he is also the interim president at the technical college. He has turned around an institution that was in pretty tough shape. And I think you may remember him from Century College. They brought him back. I think he was in retirement or quasi-retirement, and now he's full-time, and they just renewed his contract again because of the excellent job he's doing. So welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Committee members, I'm Larry Lundblad, interim president of Minnesota State College Southeast, sometimes referred to as Southeast Tech or the VOTEC. I've been there for 2 years. Prior to that, I was at Central Lakes College in Brainerd Staples for 10 years. And then prior to that, I was 30 years at South Central in Mankato as an ag teacher, and then a dean and a vice president. So I've been in the system for more years than the system has been around. But I'm pleased to be here today to talk about the House File 3232. And I want to make 3 points, and they've already been made quite eloquently by the two gentlemen preceding me. So I'll amplify some things that were shared. First of all, I'd like to say that the need for technical teachers is real. At the college, the last couple of years, we've been very aggressively working with the 22 high schools in the Southeast. They're part of the Perkins Consortium, creating pathways for students to career and technical programs at Southeast and beyond. We've been working to create learning hubs at a couple of the high schools where students can get a certificate through PSEO, 13 to 15 credits in advanced manufacturing that ladders right into our degree programs at the college. But when we go out and start talking to the schools, quite often there isn't an industrial tech instructor, or they're looking, or the program isn't there, Or in a number of cases, the superintendents and principals will say, well, so-and-so is going to be retiring in a couple of years, and we're not sure what we're going to do. So the need is great, and it certainly is impacting the college from the standpoint that the pathway, traditional pathway, from high school to career and technical programs at the post-secondary level is no longer there in many cases. So students really don't know about these wonderful occupations and salaries that can be made in the skills trade areas. So it's a severe problem that continues to that we need to address, and this legislation certainly would help to do that. The second thing I would like to emphasize is that the 2+2 approach is really a very wise use of resources. And as you've already heard, you know, the Education Village at Winona State, the infrastructure that we have in place at the Technical College state-of-the-art labs, our advanced manufacturing lab in the Winona campus over this past year and a half, we've raised over $1.5 million from the community to upgrade the equipment. So we really are very comfortable right now that we are at least where we should be with much of our advanced manufacturing equipment that we need to really prepare our students adequately for the workplace. When we look at this, we're looking at it as a pilot program. And so if you look at our seven state universities, six of the seven have a community or technical college co-located within the community that they're serving. And so it would be easy to replicate this particular program across the state. Southwest State does not have a co-located, but obviously there's a constellation of campuses from Minnesota, from Midwest, that the students could access easily education at Southwest. So we do have the infrastructure in place. We have the courses at the university level. In many cases, the pedagogical courses are already being offered. I would suspect that with a degree, a four-year degree, there would be some other course requirements in addition to general ed that would be beneficial to students. For example, introduction to manufacturing and some of these things, some of these courses that are probably already available at a number of our universities. So it's a wise use of resources. We're really not going out and creating something entirely new. The third point that I would like to make, and I'm going through my notes here trying to figure out who said what previously, so I don't repeat. The third point is that the 2+2 approach will provide pathways for students to the baccalaureate degrees that we're talking about, or baccalaureate degree that we're talking about. Students coming to a two-year college, typically in the career and technical areas, are focused on hands-on. They're the kinesthetic type of learner that wants to get into the shops, get into the lab areas, as President Olson suggested, a little bit dirt under the fingernails. That's the kind of education they're looking for. So if they're getting that on the front end, and then they start getting into the classroom portions more, they'll be ready, prepared, and have an out. They'll see an outcome for the courses that they'll be taking at the university. And so, I think it's a good way to get students who are already interested in the career and technical areas to get the experience and to move on. Dr. Hannon mentioned also his father's experience, and I would say that's another pool of potential students for this particular program. Individuals who've been in the industry 5, 10, 15, 20 years perhaps, that are ready for a career change. Some of our best instructors at Southeast are individuals who have been in the industry for 15 or 20 years and are deciding that they would like to make a change, quite often at a significantly drop, you know, a significant drop in pay. So there's a desire. So I think there's a pool out there that we could connect with who would be interested in teaching at the high school level and ready to make that career change. So in closing, I would say again, just to emphasize, the need is real. We can develop approach across the state that uses infrastructure already in place, and there's a potential pool of prospective students that we're not reaching now, and obviously with the lack of programs at our universities, there's no place for them to go even if they're interested. My experience these last 2 years at Minnesota State College Southeast is that business is eager to partner, the school districts are eager to partner, the two-year colleges are eager to partner, and our universities are eager to partner. So the dollars that would come to support this initiative, this pilot program, certainly would be an excellent investment, and you have a ready, willing, able group of folks that are ready to make it happen. Thank you.
So, President Lumblett, on 1.8, the 150,000, can you tell us why that's there?
Representative Pawlowski, Chair, basically, as President Olson suggested, we're looking just at the dollars that it would take to get some folks in place, faculty, to help develop the program and to get the basics put together.
Questions, members? No questions? All right. Thank you very much. Do we
thank
have
you.
Anyone else who wishes to testify? And Representative Lean, do you have a motion for me?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. I move for approval of the minutes from the division's meeting, February 26, 2020.
Representative Lean moves the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Any further discussion on House File 3232? Then I'll renew my motion that House File 3232 be passed and be re-referred to the Higher Education Finance Division. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Meeting is adjourned.